Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Point of Insanity Game Studios Geekery in General Podcast. I am Al, and joining me today, my friend, Chad. How are you doing, Chad?
Hey, pretty good, Al. How are you doing today?
Oh, not too bad. Enjoying the nice weather. I mean, down in our neck of the woods, it got up to a blistering 63 degrees today.
Ooh, you got us by three.
This is a weird time of year in Wisconsin, though. And any listeners who are in Wisconsin, you'll understand. It's like, yeah, it can get up into like the 50s or 60s, but for all we know, by next week, it might be back to 20 degrees with 6 inches of snow.
Bite your tongue.
Sorry. Okay, so you all hear, if it's 20 degrees and we have a 6 inches of snow, it's my fault. So, I mean, do you remember the May 10th snowstorm? I think it was like 88 or 89.
Yeah, I remember. I guess I remember more of my parents talking about it, but yeah, I mean, it was because my mother's birthday is May 15th, and there was still snow on the ground.
Yeah, because I had a paper route back then, so yeah, it was. I thought I wouldn't have to break out the boots and the snow pants again, but had to use them in May. But that's not what we're talking about today. So, anyways, today's topic, we're going to be doing another. I saw it on. We're going to be.
It came from Netflix.
Yes, it came from Netflix. Or still not sure if I want to do it came from Netflix or Two Geeks, One Film or whatever we decide to call this series. The topic today is Justice League War. And it was just recently released on Netflix. I think it was like within the last week or so.
Sure. That sounds good.
Yeah, I know it's fairly new. Though the film itself, I think, came out in 2014, where it was a direct-to-video, which doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think a lot of times, you can't have a big-budget release all the time, and I know they've got that, Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice?
Yeah, that's coming out, July?
Is it this year already?
Yeah, the Batman vs. Superman.
Because, yeah, I remember seeing, of course, the big thing is that Ben Affleck's playing Batman, and was it Henry Cavill's doing Superman?
Yeah, the same guy who's been doing them the last few films.
Yeah, and then I saw some promotional pictures that had, like Aquaman and Wonder Woman. I'm not sure what other members of the Justice League that they're having for this particular movie. The only ones I remember are Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman.
I have not seen the trailer with Aquaman. That's exciting for me. I am an Aquaman fan.
Really? Because, I always hear, I think he gets kind of a bad rap. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that they just kind of like, oh, what does he do? He controls fish. And I wonder if part of it is there was this game on GameCube that was called Aquaman Battle for Atlantis, and it's supposed to be one of the worst video games ever made. And you'd think by the GameCube that was what, the seventh generation video games, or was it sixth? I think it was six. Or was it seven? But anyways, you'd think by the time GameCube was released, game designers would have figured out how to not make a bad game, but that's beside the point, I guess. So, I haven't seen any trailers, but I just remember seeing promotional photos that had some of the other Justice League members in it.
Yeah, so Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice is coming out actually March 23rd.
Wow, even sooner than we thought. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not on my top of my list. I gotta see Deadpool first. How big of a comic book, how big of a comic book fan are you?
I enjoy certain comic books. When they relaunched Aquaman, I started reading that. I liked the old Uncanny X-Men, which still may be going on, but I haven't probably read in 5+ years. I don't know if you've ever heard of Tim Seeley.
I have not.
Okay, he does, right now his current is called Revival, which is pretty good. It's set in Wisconsin. He's actually a Wausau native. But he used to do one called Hack Slash, which was basically a story of Cassie Hack and her sidekick, and I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, they went around, they were serial killers that went around and killed serial killers. So it was kind of a slasher versus slasher kind of thing, so.
So, you know, it's interesting because I don't think we really see a lot of comics in Wisconsin. The only comic book heroes I can think of that are from Wisconsin are Marvel's Great Lake Avengers, but with the exception of Mr. Immortal, I mean, most of them were kind of like, well, and Squirrel Girl. The rest were kind of like joke characters. So I don't know.
So Squirrel Girl wasn't a joke character?
Squirrel Girl is badass. She defeated Dr. Doom on her own. And in one episode, they did it off panel, she talked Galactus out of destroying the Earth.
Okay.
So yeah, she's actually supposed to be pretty powerful, I guess. But yeah, because I know it just... doesn't seem like Wisconsin gets a lot of really, doesn't get much superhero action, so.
Yeah, and Revival isn't so much of a superhero comic, it's more of a storyboard type comic.
Oh, okay.
It's very story driven.
Yeah, because I don't collect comics anymore, and when I used to collect comics, I was more into Marvel than DC. The main comics I collected were primarily X-Men and New Mutants. Okay. I would get the occasional issue of Punisher if it looked interesting, but I was primarily an X-Men fan, and Avengers were okay, but it's not something that I got a lot of. So
yeah, it was Uncanny X-Men for me back then, and that was pretty much the only one I read. I'd grab an occasional Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I think I may have had like an one or two issues of that, but it wasn't the original like Eastman and Laird where it was all gritty. It was more of the more colorful, bright, cheery Ninja Turtles that we knew of from the cartoon in the 80s.
Right, and that's what I read too. I've seen the old ones, the original ones, the black and white, very gritty graphic novelish type ones, but I can't afford those.
Yeah, and you know, and it's interesting that a lot of people, it's like, I think a lot of people who first were exposed to TMNT, it was through the cartoons. And Shredder was this, like, you know, super, you know, badass bad guy. Right. Where if you look at the original comics, he actually died in the first issue. And specifically, they said that Master Splinter, who's supposed to be this honorable martial arts master, he specifically was teaching the Turtles and training them to kill Shredder for him. So, I don't know. I mean, I know that there's, of course, been tons of different versions of TMNT, including the Michael Bay version, but that's not something we're going to talk about today. So, now when I was going into this, so I just read a little bit about it, and it was based on a graphic novel, Justice League Origin, because I believe the DC a few years ago decided to reboot everything.
Yep, they called it the 52.
Mm-hmm.
So they rebooted 52 titles, and that's, I don't know if they've expanded from that or not. And like I said, I started picking up the Aquaman. And honestly, I think they kind of ruined Aquaman with the reboot, but, you know, that's just me.
And I think Marvel is actually planning a similar thing, and in a way, now I'm not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing, so what is your take on the whole rebooting the entire universe?
You know, if you do it right, if it's done well, I don't see a problem with it. But I was just reading that DC's getting ready to reboot everything again.
Oh, jeez.
As well. And I'm like, they rebooted, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
I think it was something like that. Yeah, I know it's not too long ago. But, I mean, I can kind of see that part of the reason they would do it is, I mean, you have some of these comics like Batman. That's been going since, what, like the late 30s, early 40s? You know, yeah, Superman, yeah. He's been around for a long time. Even, you know, Marvel being the younger, I mean, the X-Men have been around since at least the 60s, as have been like the Fantastic Four and the Avengers. But, I mean, just to stick with DC, I mean, there might be, I mean, I can see how when you've got a comic book series that's been spanning decades, it must be a kind of hard keeping track of the continuity. I mean, you don't want to do something necessarily that, I mean, you don't necessarily want to do something in episode, no, or not episode, in issue number 772 that contradicts something that happened, you know, way back in issue number, you know, 102.
Right, right.
So,
and I think, you know, unless you're really hardcore though, I mean, who's going to look at it and go, oh my God, Batman called this lady Jane, but in episode, or in a book, you know, 87, he called her Janet.
Exactly. You know, I'm sure there's people that.
Oh, there are. There are.
Yep. They would be like, wait a second. You know, Batman, he drew that batarang from the third capsule on the right. Well, back in, you know, however, for the last 700 issues, it's been in the second capsule from the right.
Yep.
So,
yep.
No, yeah. Exactly. And so I can kind of see with like these long running series that sometimes, yeah, you do have to reboot them for to maybe draw in the younger audience because, I mean, you might not have, you know, kids who have the desire to know what happened back in Batman number 37 and why it's relevant to what's happening in Batman number 894.
Right. And not only that, I mean, it's, like you were saying, to get in the young kids, I mean, I could pick up an episode, you know, any comic book and read it and go, okay, great comic book, but why did this happen? And then, you know, well, that happened in, you know, 200 books ago, mm-hmm. and this is why it ended this way in this book. And it's like, okay, but how am I supposed to know that? If I'm a new reader and I pick up, you know, number 804, how am I supposed to know what happened in, you know, book 106.
Exactly. And I think most people, it's like, you know, unless most people who aren't hardcore fans where they have the entire series, I think we know with some of these heroes, we know enough about their origin, like, you know, Batman having his parents murdered and, you know, Superman getting sent to Earth and Peter Parker getting bitten by a spider and whatnot. We right. know about their early years, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff in between that we don't really know about. And honestly, maybe there's some issues where do we even really care what was happening? I mean, do we really care what Batman was doing in, you know, Batman number 412? Yes, but anyways. So.
Exactly.
What were you expecting or what were your expectations when we went into Justice League War?
Okay, so I didn't really know what to expect, but in the back of my head, you know, I heard the guy from TV going, you know, meanwhile, in the Hall of Justice.
So did you grow up on the Super Friends, too?
I did grow up on Super Friends.
No,
that guy was on Mary Tyler Moore, and I can't think of his name right now. Ted Knight, was that his name?
I don't know. Drawing a blank, so.
And you know, growing up, I saw, you know, the Mary Tyler Moore show, and then sitting there Saturday morning, you know, meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice, and you're like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah, and that's true, and, you know, it's like, oh, go ahead. You know,
and I guess in the back of my mind, that's what I was expecting.
Okay, see, I was expecting it would be something like, there's a couple of Justice League cartoon series that I believe are still available on Netflix, and I really got into both of them. The first one was Justice League, which focused mostly on Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Martian Manhunter, Hawk Girl, Flash, and then Green Lantern, and the Flash was the Wally West, I think. Yeah, and the, because of course there's been different versions of Flash, and then for the Green Lantern, because of course there's, you know, Green Lantern isn't really just a person, it's
the ring.
Yeah, and this one they were using the Jon Stewart version of Green Lantern. And in this one, of course, they use the Hal Jordan, which is the one I recall. I believe that was the Green Lantern they did in the Super Friends.
Oh, probably. That sounds right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the Hal Jordan one from back in those days. So that's what I was expecting going into this. And then Justice League Unlimited was the sequel to the Justice League series. And yeah, the main seven still played a prominent role, but they brought in a lot of these other ones. Like they had Green Arrow and Black Canary, Wildcat, Shining Knight, Vigilante, just, you know, tons of them because, you know, of course, there's gazillions of Marvel superheroes. So I liked both of them, but in a way, I think I liked Justice League Unlimited a little better. Now, if any of you out there haven't seen the episodes, search for them if they are still on Netflix and, you know, take a look at them if you have the chance. You definitely want to watch Justice League first because there's stuff that happens in Justice League Unlimited that doesn't make as much sense unless you've seen Justice League. And so that's what I was expecting. And I'd have to say when I first, after the first few minutes of Justice League War, it's like, okay, this is not what I was expecting. Cast of characters. I mean, of course, the classics, Batman, Superman, Green, you know, Flash, Wonder Woman were in there. And we had the Hal Jordan version of Green Lantern instead of the John Stewart version. And then Cyborg and Shazam with, or no, actually, isn't it Captain Marvel?
No, nope, it's Shazam.
Okay, because I thought he went by both.
Oh, I don't know, but in the movie, he went by Shazam.
Yeah, I think the character did go both because I know the Shazam. It's supposed to be like short for like the. I was like the each of the letters in Shazam is supposed to represent like a certain hero or character. Like I think there's like the wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules, the courage of Achilles, the power of Zeus. The something of whoever the other one that begins with A is, and then M is, I think, the speed of Mercury. Okay. So that's what it's supposed to be. And because of course, Captain Marvel, he's normally this little, you know, Billy Baston, this little kid. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the characterizations. Now, one of the things I noticed is that, okay, the person voicing Superman in this was Alan, and let me look up his last name. I know he was in Firefly.
Tudyk,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if he was going to be able to pull it off because I'm sorry, but whenever I hear of Alan Tudyk, whatever, you know, I always think Wash from Firefly. So it's like, okay, how is someone who I'm used to seeing as like a wisecracking pilot, how is he going to pull off Superman?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a pretty good job at it. And then, Jason O'Mara, I thought he did a good job as Batman.
I can agree with half of that.
Which is that?
I agree that Batman Bruce Wayne was done pretty darn well. That of all the superheroes, when it comes to movies, Batman is my Achilles. If you put Batman on something, I'm gonna throw money at it.
So in other words, you're like that meme going around of Fry from Futurama. Shut up and take my money!
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I own every Batman movie, including the 1967 Batman movie. you know, the ones from the 90s, the new ones, and I already know I'm going to throw money at this new one with Batfleck.
Yeah.
you know, and so I thought they did Batman pretty well. I had a little bit of an issue of how easily Bruce was to give up his secret identity, but
that's true.
You know, other than that, I thought they did Batman pretty well. Yeah. I thought that they killed Supes. I'm sorry. Yeah. He was just, Superman doesn't kill. Superman doesn't have an attitude. And all these things that I felt came across with this version of Superman. I thought he was just too flippant, too, I don't know. I didn't like the way it came across.
Yeah, I disagree with that part. I do like, I mean, I thought the Superman was okay. Yeah, he was a little bit more fisticuffs, I think, than he normally is. But then I did like the performance for Batman, but I do agree he was a little too easy to give up his identity. The rest of the characters, I couldn't get into their performances. I mean, Wonder Woman seemed too gung-ho. I know
And she seemed like completely pointless. She's supposed to be this political envoy to Earth, and she knows nothing. I mean, she's walking across the street without even stopping. She's just, you know.
Exactly.
She's, she's drawn a sword on the ice cream man, and
exactly, and it's like she acts like it's like she's never tasted it before because he's like, you know, saying to the it's like, cause this, what happened is Wonder Woman, she meets up with this little girl and who's eating an ice cream cone and asks what it is, and she's like, ice cream, and Wonder Woman's never had ice cream, so yeah, she goes to an ice cream vendor and yeah, holds him up with a sword, you know, give us ice cream, and you know, eats it like. And acts like the guy who, you know, gave him the ice cream actually invented it. And it's like, you should be proud of yourself. And the guy behind the counter was probably like, yeah, just please don't kill me.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, oh, I did not like that Wonder Woman. And Cyborg? I had nothing to compare him to. I'm not familiar with that character.
I'm mostly familiar with Cyborg from Teen Titans, the few episodes I've seen of that. Correction. I did actually like that portrayal of Cyborg. Because he's, again, his backstory, like a lot of heroes, he has a bit of tragedy in his backstory. Uh-huh. And I'm not sure what it's like in the mainstream DC universe, but in Justice League War, his father's a scientist, and I believe that's what he is in the mainstream DC universe.
Okay.
And he never attends his football games. And they're trying to study this device, which they later find out is a mother box from Apocalypse. He's more concerned about studying that than attending his football game. And then after the football game, he goes to confront his dad, and he's like, you know, you care more about that. You know, I think in some ways we can kind of relate to him because I'm sure a lot of kids out there, at some point, you've been frustrated at your parents.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you feel sometimes your parents care more about something else than you. And, you know, when you're a kid, you might not necessarily always see it. But he then gets, Cyborg or Victor, he gets hurt as a result of an accident in the lab. And in order to save him, his dad has to turn him into a cyborg. And he doesn't like that. And I believe that's one of the characterizations of him is it takes him a while to come to grip to it where he sees himself as kind of like a monster or a freak. And this is something that, I mean, I know I don't talk about my own products very often, but in one of my products, I made the Mads Manual of Might, which is how to run a superhero campaign using the Mads role-playing game. And one of the options in there is you can be a cyborg. But one of the drawbacks of being a cyborg is you experience something called cyborg rage, which is when you have to come to terms with your lost humanity. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. You mean you just kind of got to come to terms with the fact that you're not really human anymore.
Yeah, you're not human. You're not robot. And it's something that I think has been done in some works of fiction. Like, do you remember the original Transformers G1 cartoon?
Ooh, from the early 80s?
Yes.
Yeah, I used to watch that quite regularly.
Do you remember the episode Autobot X?
What happened in it? I don't, okay. Not by name, but.
Okay, I think that was the name of the title, but what happened was Ratchet cobbled together a robot made of a bunch of old Autobot parts. And if you look closely, you can be like, oh, that's part of Prowl right there. Oh, that's a piece of Hound. Oh, that arm is from Ironhide. But
okay.
They try to bring it to life, but it is just basically a mindless monster. Well, in the episode, Spike gets injured, so they have to transfer his brain. Well, they don't physically transfer. It's like they transfer the personality from his brain into this robot until, you know, his body can heal. And then, of course, they decide that it'd be a good idea at the Autobot headquarters to watch Frankenstein. And then Spike, of course, sees this and he kind of realizes that he's become this freak and he goes berserk. So, of course, the Autobots have to try to find a way to subdue Spike so they can put his mind back into his body without hurting him.
Okay.
So that's one of the reasons I think I liked the cyborg characters, because you do have that inner conflict, you know, at least in the Justice League War, where he's trying to come to grips with the fact that he's, as I said, not really a human anymore, but he's not quite a machine. He's kind of that in between. He's a freak,
right?
So that I did like. The Flash, They did have him as kind of like a little bit of an immature wisecracker. That I could accept because if you've watched the, you know, the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, that's one of his character traits in that one as well, where he's very lighthearted and always joking around.
Yeah, and I think other than the Netflix series of The Flash, which I think is still going on, I've always kind of seen him that way. He's always been kind of a wise, you know, kind of a wise guy. So I didn't have a problem really with The Flash.
Yeah, and Captain Marvel or Shazam, I did not like the portrayal on that one. And I think part of it is they made Billy Batson too old. Because I think in the, well, in the Justice League cartoon that he appeared in, and I think in some of the other media I've seen him in, he's like more of a preteen, where here it's a teenager.
Right, and kind of a cocky, thievy, kind of slimy teenager on top of it.
Yeah, he's a snot, basically. And yeah. Where the Captain Marvel or Shazam that I'm used to, you know, when he becomes Shazam, it's like he's becoming kind of this idealistic hero. But I didn't see that come through in this portrayal of Shazam. It seemed like he was now just still a wisecracking, smart-ass teenager, except now he's in a superhero's body.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, just some of the stuff that they had him say, was, you know, it was like, was that your boyfriend? He says to Wonder Woman, and she's like, no, and he's like, okay, watch this. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, that's equivalent to, like, hold my beer and watch this.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, that is true. And, you know, that brings up another point. This is another thing I didn't like about the movie. One of the things I really didn't like too much about the movie, or why it didn't really impress me, is they were using some, you know, kind of, well, harsher language than you're used to seeing in superhero stuff.
Yep, that was one of the things on my list.
Yeah, it's like they're always saying, you know, pissed off and damn. They, you know, said the S word once. And one of the scenes, which I admit was kind of funny, was it, I think Green Lantern called Batman a douchebag.
Yeah, giant douchebag.
Yeah, that was okay, but yeah, I don't know.
It was funny, but it was so out of character for a superhero type movie.
Yeah, and especially if Batman was a real person, would you call Batman a douchebag?
No.
Exactly. We like breathing, so.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, that really brings us back to the last big character on the good side, which is Green Lantern. And I like this Green Lantern as much as I like Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern.
Okay, and I haven't seen...
And if you can tell from my excitement in my voice,
I take very little. Yeah, I take it you weren't... I haven't heard much good about the Green Lantern movie.
No, no. And in fact, to deviate just a little bit here, when they announced Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, I went, oh, no, 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 no. But I've seen the movie. I went to the theater twice, and I heard you say earlier you have not seen the movie.
Yep, so no spoilers yet.
Now, I won't spoil it, but I'm going to say this. When we're done here tonight, go watch the movie.
Okay, I'll try to see it because I want to, because everyone I know who's seen it has had wonderful things to say about it. And from what I understand, like, I guess Ryan Reynolds is actually a Deadpool fan, so yes. It was more... And my friend Dawn and I, we talked about this. We did an episode just kind of talking a little bit about Deadpool. And so the Deadpool movie was a movie made by a Deadpool fan for Deadpool fans. Because, of course, there was all this stuff going around about how people supposedly didn't understand why, okay, Deadpool is a comic book character. He's a superhero. Why are they making this, you know, an R-rated comic book superhero movie? You know, I should be able to take my 13-year-old kid to it.
Yep,
and,
yep.
And, of course, everyone I know who's a comic book fan's like, lady, have you ever actually read a Deadpool comic?
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't ruin anything, but in the opening minutes he goes, I'm super, but I'm no hero.
Exactly. And,
you know, and wow, when you watch the movie... I mean, I've never picked up a Deadpool comic book in my life. Mm-hmm. And it was just fantastic. And now every time I go into a game store, I'm looking just to see if they got some old Deadpool issues.
Yeah. So, yeah, this particular version of Green Lantern, I wasn't much for it. I liked the Jon Stewart version from the Justice League cartoons better. I mean, he was more, you know, for the most part, he was the straight man of the group, where very by the book, very serious. And this one, this version of Green Lantern seemed almost, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. I lost my train of thought, but again, well, yeah, it still seemed like adolescent. So, yeah,
in fact, I kind of got the feeling that this was his first mission on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just got here.
Oh, yeah, and that kind of reminds me early on in the movie, at Batman and Green Lantern talking, and it's like about, you know, Batman's like, oh, this is Gotham City, I gotta protect it, and Green Lantern's like, well, I have to protect this sector of space. And
yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, I wasn't really much for the characterizations of most of the characters.
I would agree with that.
So let's look at the actual plot of the movie itself.
Well,
so,
do we want to talk about Darkseid first?
Okay, yeah. With Darkseid, I'm not as familiar with it because he did appear in a couple episodes of Justice League, and then a couple episodes of Justice League Unlimited.
Okay.
So based on that, Darkseid did live up to my expectations.
You know, as far as that goes, I have zero background on Darkseid.
Yeah.
But I did love that character.
Yeah, because he, I'm thinking of Apocalypse. Because in the X-Men, the villain Apocalypse, he doesn't differentiate between, you know, human and superhuman. He only sees strong and weak. Mm-hmm. You know, very much into the survival of the fittest. And I don't think Darkseid is quite like that. He's more like, I'm going to conquer the universe and, you know, you are all worms beneath me. Because he is from, because I believe Darkseid is one of the new gods, so he is intended to be this godlike being. And, you know, his main weapon he fires is from his eyes, the Omega Beam.
So, which can go around corners. I love it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the one beam that it always hits. Right. And in the Justice League Unlimited, though, Batman actually found a way to dodge the Omega Beam, which actually impressed Darkseid. So I guess if you do something and Darkseid says that he's impressed, you should take that as a compliment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and Flash kind of figured out a way to defeat it in this show, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he ran around Darkseid's minions, or whatever you want to call them, and they all blew up.
Yep. So, and they figured out that, okay, if they want to stop him from using this Omega Beam, they have to take out his eyes, which basically drives Darkseid into this berserker rage. So I don't know if you'd really want to, you know, get a super powerful villain like this into a berserker rage, but it worked for them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, now, as far as the plot, so that's essentially what happens is it begins with Batman and Green Lantern, where they meet up and they discover one of Darkseid's parademons, and they're placing these mother boxes on Earth. And these mother boxes are used to create boom tubes, which essentially they're like these warps that Darkseid can use to transport his, you know, himself and his army from Apocalypse to wherever he needs to go.
Right.
So after that, the rest of the heroes slowly start coming in. They meet Superman and they have a misunderstanding with him. And then they have the, you know, then of course Wonder Woman, who's supposed to be this envoy, which, as you said, apparently didn't know she was supposed to look both ways before crossing the street. And she's supposed to cross at the crosswalk.
Right. I did like a moment with Wonder Woman when she first is introduced and she gets out of the limousine at the White House.
Oh yeah.
And they're all picketing her, you know. They're all like down with the supers, down with Wonder Woman, they do all this damage, they need to go away, blah blah blah. And she gets out and she realizes that they're picketing her.
Yeah.
And she lassos with her lasso of truth this guy who's in charge of it all, standing on top of the limo, he's got an effigy of her, you know, hanging by her neck. And she's like, why do you pick at me? And he comes up with this, you know, you've caused all this damage, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, that's not your truth. And she lassos him. And she's like, the lasso compels you to tell your truth. And he's like, I cross-dress as Wonder Woman. It makes me feel powerful. That moment, okay, I enjoyed that. That was funny. That was just like...
It was adolescent, but yes, it was kind of funny, just like when Green Lantern called Batman a douchebag.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm sorry to interrupt, but go ahead.
Oh, no, I understand. And, you know, it's like the... You think about it, though, that guy did have a point. I mean, look at how much damage is caused by superheroes in some of these movies. Now, granted, they were trying to repel an alien invasion, but still,
But there's the fallout afterwards. I mean, sure, they repelled it. Great. That's great. I'm glad they did it. But, you know, now New York City, you know, 80 blocks of New York City are leveled.
Yeah, like there was this one website, a humor website I visit every now and then, cracked.com.
Yep.
And they have this contest, Photoplasty, where they have people Photoshop images. And, you know, they had like one about statistics from fictional universes. And I guess someone figured out exactly how much it would cost to repair the damage that was done to New York in the Avengers movie.
Okay.
And it was like some astronomical number. And I think they were comparing it to how much actual money is believed to be in circulation on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's again, one of those things. Yeah, they're causing a lot of damage, but then again, when you're being invaded by a technologically superior enemy, it's kind of hard to control the collateral damage or the damage to property. So, but yeah, they find out, and Cyborg is actually the one that finds out exactly what's going on, because when the boom tube, or when the mother box explodes in his father's laboratory and creates this boom tube, it damages him, and in order to save his life, his father has to turn him into a cyborg. And that's when he interfaces with this technology, and he finds out that what Darkseid does is he sends these parademons to, you know, other planets, and they kidnap people, and they reformat them into creating more parademons.
And which are basically cyborgs as well.
Yes, exactly. So, he's the one that has some of the clues that are needed to help, you know, finally defeat Darkseid. And of course, Superman gets captured, so Batman has to let himself get captured and the rest of the group has to fight off Darkseid until Superman and Batman can enter the fight again. And I thought that was actually probably my favorite part of the movie. I did like the fight scene between the Justice League and Darkseid. I thought that looked really good for animated.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. The battle was nice. I guess to step back just a few minutes in the show, when Batman's got, I don't know, Darkseid's right-hand man there, Doctor... Do you remember what his name was?
Let me check. I had it just a second. Just a moment. Dost or something like that. It's some weird name that begins with a D and has a lot of, Desaad.
Desaad.
Yeah.
So when Desaad, you know, he's got Desaad and he escapes because one of the parademons comes in and attacks Batman. And Superman just grabs him and kills him.
Yeah. To be fair, I mean, I think he was still kind of under mind control before Batman was able to, you know, kind of snap him out of it. But mm-hmm. Yeah, that is something that we generally, we would not see Superman do.
Right, right.
So overall, my impression of it wasn't terrible, but I don't think it really did justice to... the Justice League.
Nice.
That was totally unintentional. So, but yeah, I don't think it did real justice to the source material. And when mm-hmm. I say source material, I'm not referring to the original graphic novel because I haven't read it. But just what I know about Justice League and from like the Super Friends cartoon, the mm-hmm. Justice League cartoons I've seen and just, you know, other media of these heroes, I don't think it really did very well. I think it looked like it was clearly aimed more for the teenagers, you know, the teenage crowd.
Yeah, yeah, and I would agree with that. I would not rate this highly. I would not recommend anybody. I mean, if you're big in the Justice League, try it.
Go for it, you know.
I wouldn't search if somebody goes, "Hey, what's really good on Netflix?" Justice League War is not coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, it's go watch, you know, watch the Justice League and the Justice League Unlimited cartoons. You know, those are really good. And I'm sure there's other, because actually I was browsing through Netflix and it looks like they do have maybe some ideas for some other future episodes. Because it looks like they do have some other cartoons in there, like Son of Batman and Young Justice. I tried watching that one, but I didn't get past the first episode because it really wasn't grabbing me.
Okay.
I know then that, of course, they have the Netflix Flash, Arrow, and Daredevil. I haven't seen Arrow yet. It's on my list of shows I want to watch.
I've seen a few episodes of it. My wife has watched, I think, most of the first two seasons, but I've probably seen a half dozen episodes. Mm-hmm. And it's not bad. It catches me enough to sit down and watch it for 42 minutes, you know?
Yeah, and then, of course, there's other things like the live action, like Jessica Jones and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, mm-hmm. And then, of course, the other two we were talking about, the, you know, Flash, Arrow, and Daredevil, those are all live action as well. So, it is cool to see that they are starting to make more of these superhero themed shows, because I know it was something I really loved watching when I was a kid. I'm not as much of a comic book person as I used to be, mm-hmm. but some of the tales that are told in those stories are entertaining and definitely, you know, worth checking out.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe there's going to be also, as long as we're doing this, on Netflix, there's going to be a Punisher series as well.
Because I remember the original Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then I saw part of the new one. So, not really, they're okay. They're not, like I said, they really didn't hit me, but I don't know, Punisher, as far as comic book characters go, he's not a bad character, but still I think maybe this is just me because I'm not intimately familiar with it, but it's not like it seems he doesn't really live for much other than killing criminals.
Yeah, I've never been a Punisher fan because he's kind of like, what's the other guy I'm thinking of? The
Vigilante or anti-hero.
Yeah, but he's more of an anti-hero. He's more of a, it's like, I'm a murderer, but I cover it up by murdering bad people.
Exactly. It's like Spider-Man, you know, he's the kind of guy who's going to leave a criminal tied up in webs so the police can take him to the state, you know, to jail, whereas Punisher, he's going to leave them lying in an alley full of bullet holes so they can take him to the morgue.
Yeah, and he's got the concept of, well, they're bad, so
they deserve it.
They deserve it.
Yeah, and I can tell you, now, have you ever played many superhero role-playing games?
You know, strangely enough, I played one years ago.
Which one?
Couldn't tell you now.
Because I'm a big fan of TSR's original Marvel Superheroes game.
Okay.
And I'd have to say, in this case, the basic rules are actually better than the advanced rules. I'm not going to really get into that right now, but mm-hmm. Punisher would not be a good character to play in that original Marvel Superheroes game.
Right.
And the reason is because in Marvel Superheroes, your characters have something called karma, which functions kind of like experience points do in, you know, most other role-playing games. Mm-hmm. So you use it to get new skills and powers and improve your existing ones, but you also use it to influence your roles. And the thing that's challenging about Marvel Superheroes is it's essentially saying you're a superhero. Act like it.
Right. Because
if your character does heroic deeds, you gain karma. If you do bad, you know, unheroic deeds, you lose karma.
Okay.
And it actually sticks true to the superhero genre because if you kill another character, even a villain, you lose all your karma. So that, imagine that would be like if you were a 20th level fighter in D&D and you kill a kobold and now you're back to first level.
Yeah, yeah.
So Punisher, since he's not the kind of hero that tends to let his, you know, his opponents, his, you know, the bad guys live. Yeah, he would be a challenging character to play in that game.
Yeah. So, and then I just started, I have a game group. We game one Saturday a month. And we just started a Heroes game. Okay. 6th edition, 5th edition, I think it is, something like that.
Is that Palladium that makes it, or?
That sounds right. It's actually a book I don't own.
Okay. I think.
which is sometimes hard to find.
Okay. I think that I'm wanting to say it's Palladium, but I'm sure there's probably someone out there, screaming at their, you know, their MP3 player or whatever device they're listening at. No, it's not Palladium, Al, you stupid. You know, yeah, there's
yeah,
probably.
Oh, yeah.
I said,
and, you know, they can tell you in the comments if we're wrong.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, you know, I'm a Batman fan, so I made the character, the Raven, mm-hmm. which is, we made him to be a rival of Batman's.
Okay.
So Batman operates in Gotham, and then I operate in Millennium City.
Okay.
And, you know, same basic background, but it's just something different. I've never been a big superhero game mm-hmm. fan, so we'll see how this plays out, but, yep. Yeah, so, but yeah, like I was, you know, it didn't trip my trigger, for lack of a better word.
Yep. So you're talking about the superheroes and stuff.
Yeah,
there's a picture that a friend of mine posted on Facebook recently. It had Superman and Martian Manhunter stand, they photoshopped them on the cliff from The Lion King. Superman saying something like, you know, everything the light touches is our kingdom, except that shadowy place over there. That's Gotham City. And I think Martian Manhunter's supposed to be saying, like, you know, why don't we go, you know, should we go there? And mm-hmm. Superman's like, F that. That's Batman's territory. He has kryptonite and a box of matches.
Yep, yep. I just saw that, like, yesterday or something.
So, well, I think we've talked enough about this particular movie for now. It didn't really, I don't think it really gave us as much to work with as our previous episode where we did about Robot Overlords. As I said, overall, my final verdict, not terrible, but don't go out of your way to see it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to start doing these on a star system. Out of 5 stars,
mm-hmm.
2.
Yeah, I would be maybe about a 2.5, but I think we're definitely on the, you know, the same page where it's not the best animated series or animated movie you can see.
Yeah, but even though, in all fairness, on Netflix, at least on my version of Netflix, it had 4.5 stars.
Yeah, I'm not sure who. I mean, I suppose if you like it that much to give it out that far of a rating, well, that's your, you know, your right to do that.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah, it's not the kind of movie that I would recommend going out of your way to see. I suppose if you've got, like, what was it, like an hour and a half or so, or
hour and 19 minutes, I think it
okay.
was.
Okay, so yeah, if you've got a bit over an hour to kill and you can, there's absolutely nothing better you can think to do in that time. Yeah, give it a watch, but don't kick yourself if you miss it.
Yep, exactly. I honestly watched it twice because when I got done with it last night, I was just like, it's an absolute piece of garbage. And so when I got home from work tonight, I kind of, like, you know, fast forward to the very beginning of it and I kind of watched it again. And I thought, you know, there are moments, mm-hmm. you know, there are some really good moments. There are some characters that are well developed, and then the rest of it still is garbage. But
I think we're going to call this episode to a close, so I'd like to thank you again, Chad, for joining me. And
not a problem, and I look forward to the next one.
Yep, so we're not exactly sure what we're thinking of doing, one called Revenge of the Bridemaids.
Yep.
So that one, I admit, without getting too far ahead of ourselves, I haven't seen it yet. Not sure what to think, what I'm going to expect going into it, because it looks like it's supposed to be like a romantic comedy.
Yes,
and
but I think it's going to be horrible.
So do you think it's going to be so bad it's good, or just plain so bad it's bad?
I think they're just going to, you know, just from what I've read on it, you know, on Netflix and what I've seen just from the cover of the movie, I think it's going to be one of those they're going to try so hard. It's going to be horrible.
So, yep, that's what we'll have to see. Again, after we have a chance to take a look at that. And hope you all enjoyed the show. So thanks for tuning in. And thank you, Chad, for joining me. And have a good evening or morning or afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are. And I probably shouldn't say happy game. Well, we talked a little bit about gaming.
Yeah, we did a little bit, yeah.
So, well.
And you should always have happy gaming.
Yes. You should always have happy gaming, though. I can say that I've had days where it's like a bad game session at work, a bad day at the gaming table is still better than a great day at work.
Agreed.
Thanks for joining us, everyone, and talk to you later.